Hello, and welcome to episode 14 of the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business Magazine, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. This episode is a special edition on revenue cycle management. It delves into what RCM is, what it isn't, how it can help providers better manage their businesses, how they can shape performance metrics around their RCM, and how they can measure and analyze their performance to improve their RCM. It's a big topic, and we have this episode's sponsor, Brighttree, to thank for making it possible. Brighttree produces market-leading business management solutions for HME providers and other post-acute businesses, and you can learn more about them at www.brighttree.com. Revenue cycle management is a term that gets used a lot in healthcare business management these days, and that includes in the realm of home medical equipment. However, not all HME providers might be clear on what RCM actually is, how it can benefit their businesses, and the tools available to implement it. If you find yourself in the camp where you might have those questions hovering over your head, don't worry. Here today on the podcast are Sunil Krishnan, the Vice President of Revenue Cycle Management for software company Brighttree, as well as Fadi Haddad, the Director of Business Analytics for Brighttree. And they're going to make everything about RCM clear. Fadi, Sunil, how you guys doing?
Great.
Doing great. Thank you. How about yourself?
Perfect. Welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here. So let's dive in. Sunil, what is RCM? This is kind of a broad term. Where does it start and where does it stop?
Yeah. So David, revenue cycle management really starts with the order coming in to the provider's office. And so once that order comes in, whether it's electronically or through fax, it gets to the provider's office, who then creates an order within the system, in our case, Brighttree system, and then tries to obtain all the necessary documentation that the payer requires. From there, generating that invoice and sending it out to the payer. And then once that payer receives it and they process it, then the perfect scenario is they just pay the cash and it's all good. But there's also those situations where the denials come in. Mm-hmm. So then you have users having to work those denials. So just that whole thing from when that order comes in till posting the cash and closing out those invoices, that whole space is revenue cycle management.
Gotcha. It's sort of the life cycle of that revenue.
Correct. That is correct.
So it sounds to me like the revenue cycle management process begins a lot earlier than some providers might expect.
Yes. So revenue cycle management, it doesn't just start with once that claim has gone to the payer, and it's much earlier in the process. It really starts from once you have that order coming in to the provider's office and then going through all the steps that we just talked about. So it's much earlier in the process.
Okay, so if RCM is the life cycle of pieces of revenue coming into a provider's business, how do providers measure this? You know, are there key pieces of performance data, some existing key performance indicators that help them measure how their revenue cycle management is performing?
Sure. So we are always capturing actionable data, right? Because any business, I mean, today data is so powerful and it kind of gives you a lot of insight into how your business is doing. So we are always looking for actionable data. And in a bit, you'll be hearing from Fadi on how we have access to this really great infrastructure we called advanced analytics. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about KPIs, in revenue cycle management, there are about five or six standard KPIs that we like to monitor. Mm-hmm. And when we talked about, you know, the life cycle of an invoice and getting paid, all of it comes down to, am I getting my cash in the door? What does my cash flow look like? So the very first KPI that you should be looking at is that order creation and how much of a backlog you have sitting out there. Because if there's a backlog, that's not generating invoices for you that you could be sending to the payer. So the very first one is outstanding sales order days. And what I mean by that is you're really trying to compare about your backlog of orders that are sitting out there compared to how much you're creating on average per month, right? And so you don't want to have too much of a backlog sitting there. So first one is outstanding sales order days, important. From that, once now you generate that invoice, you have what we call non-billable revenue in days. And what we mean by non-billable revenue is I've generated that revenue by generating that invoice, but it's non-billable. I can't send it out to the payer yet because it's maybe missing some documentation or something. So you want to be monitoring that as a ratio of the average business that you do on a monthly basis. So the non-billable revenue compared to your revenue on a monthly basis. So that's the second important KPI you want to look at. The third one is net revenue collection ratio. So net revenue collection ratio is looking at how much am I generating in terms of revenue and how much am I collecting against that revenue, right? Very important. So you want to be collecting some really high high ratio so that you know you're performing as you would expect.
So just to clarify, is that the revenue that you are anticipating getting versus the revenue that you're actually getting?
Correct. So it's the revenue that I booked on my that I put on my books and I've sent it out to the payer to collect on. And so I'm comparing that against what I actually collect in terms of true dollars.
Aha. Okay. What about number four?
So number four is then denials ratio, right? So again, big things. You're getting all these denials coming back to you. And so you want to compare of all the things that I'm sending out to the payer, how much of that is actually coming back in denials? And again, you want to be looking at key denials, right? There are, as everyone in the DME industry knows, there are certain denials that are just part of the process, but then there are other denials that you could be preventing and actually getting a payment rather than a denial.
And number five?
Number five is write-off ratios. So write-offs is truly something I couldn't collect. I left money at the table.
Oof.
See, yeah, so those are the ones you really want to be looking at and saying, could I have done something better in terms of changing my process, maybe educating my employees or whatever the case might be? I have provided that service. I should be getting money for it, but I had to write it off. So it's very, very important to be tracking your write-off ratio and the reasons for the write-off.
Gotcha. So now we've got five kind of key standard KPIs related to revenue cycle management. What are the sort of performance targets for those standard KPIs?
So again, you know, every time we look at these KPIs, the HME industry is pretty broad, right? So you can have various payers you're dealing with and various product mix that your business might have. So there are no, you know, here's my certain standard targets. It could be a little different for everyone. But what we've seen when we've tried to sort of benchmark some of these numbers, we've seen, for example, the outstanding sales order days, you want to be within 10 to 14 days, right? Anything more than that, there's probably room for improvement.
Yeah.
But again, you got to be looking at that product mix and payer mix to be sure. Non-billable revenue in days, it needs to be within 10 days. Net revenue collection ratio, some of the best providers are doing over 95%. So that's 95 cents on the dollar is what they're doing. Denials ratio, again, I talked about, and I won't say it's a ratio that I want to be standardizing or targeting. It's really looking for some very key denials and ensuring that they're not in your top five denials. For example, incorrect missing modifiers, you don't want that to be in your top five denial. Missing or lack of documentation, you don't want that in your top five denial. So there are certain denials you don't want that to be in your top five denials. And then the last one that we talked about, the write-off ratio, you want to keep that to less than 5%. And if you're keeping it at less than 5%, you're probably a very happy provider in this market.
Okay, so those are standard KPIs. I'm curious, are there other KPIs, maybe newer KPIs that providers might not have heard about that they should be measuring when it comes to their revenue cycle?
Definitely. So here at Brightree RCM, one very important metric that we've designed is what we call the 90-day roll. And what that really means is we look at all the open invoices that are out there, right? So we look at what came in, what is sitting out there that's current in that 0 to 30 days, that just opened in 0 to 30 days. And then we look at 90 days out and see how much of that fell into that 90-day bucket, which is the 90 to 120 days. And what that starts giving you is if you have fewer dollars falling into that bucket 90 days later, you're doing that much better, right? So it might be that the claim just paid because you send a clean claim out the door and the payer paid, and that's great. Or it might be a denial came, your employees were able to resolve that denial, send it back to the payer and paid, but everything happened within 90 days. And so you have fewer dollars falling in there. So I call it the 90-day roll. It's been a great KPI to measure, and it starts giving the sentiment on how good you are doing versus do I have room for improvement. It's also a proxy on what we call a clean claims ratio, which is used out there. But the 90-day roll is really a powerful KPI that's out there.
Gotcha. Any others?
There's another way also of looking at denials. Everyone, when they talk about denials ratio, is really driven by the count of denials, right? So I have X number of denials that came back with Y number of claims that went out the door. And that's all good from a count perspective. But the moment you switch it to from a dollar perspective, it becomes even more powerful, right? Because if I'm going to be invested in spending my time working denials, I want to be working on the denials that are the highest dollars, right? So the moment you can switch this denials ratio from a dollar perspective instead of looking at it from a count perspective, it is you're just making sure that your employees are really working on the denials that are going to get you more money in that door.
Okay. So I guess I'm wondering, the big question is, you've mentioned some really key KPIs, and they're related to the intricacies of RCM performance. How do providers get this data? How are they measuring this? Is it easy? Because I imagine that, you know, the key with any sort of business management when it comes to measuring metrics is you got to do it consistently. Is this something that you can do consistently, easily? Does it require special tools, automation? How do you measure this?
I will let Fadi take that one because like I mentioned earlier in this podcast, we have a great tool called Advanced Analytics. And so, Fadi, I'll pass it on to you.
Okay.
Sure. Thanks, Anil. So, yeah, I mean, there's many different ways that you can go through and you can track this, right? I mean, within Brightree today, we have an ad hoc reporting tool where you can download the data that you need to look at to try to get to these relevant KPIs that Sunil was mentioning earlier. And you can construct them within Excel reports and, you know, distribute that internally. We also have tools that are actually built into Brightree itself that'll give you, you know, a high level view into these KPIs. But, you know, when something, David, that you mentioned was, you know, is it easy? I guess it depends on your definition of easy. And anybody can pull data into an Excel, right? But when it comes down to really modifying it and applying the appropriate logic to it, that's where I think a little bit of the confusion or maybe some of the difficulty, if you will, comes in. Because you really run into this scenario where, you know, you may pull something yourself. Like maybe Sunil goes in and pulls a report and, you know, he has, you know, all the best intentions, right? He wants to pull a report on those outstanding sales order days, right? I really, really want to know, where do I stand here? How long is it taking me? And then maybe David, you go in and you run the exact same, you know, type of report with the same metrics, but you use a slightly different logic, or you put an additional filter in there and you come up to a totally different number, but yet it's for the same KPI. So, you know, now as an organization, as a DME, you're kind of left wondering, well, which one is the right one for us to use, right? You kind of remove that single source of truth. And that's really where, you know, coming in and having, you know, an actual analytics solution, analytics platform comes in. And that's, you know, really where advanced analytics is, right? That's something that will really be able to be used as that single source of truth. So when somebody logs in within the DME, they can go in and they can see, where are my outstanding sales order days? Where do they stand? Where is my aging AR? What's going on with my denials? And it really, you know, doesn't stop with just knowing the high level number. You really want to be able to get in and dive into the detail behind that, right? Have the ability to slice it down to the payer level, slice it down to the location level, even the user, right? There's so many different components that can go into revenue cycle management that if one piece basically breaks, right? Think of it as a chain. One you know, little chink comes up in that chain, everything else kind of gets thrown off. So you want to make sure you're always able to track and monitor each detail, and, you know, as deep as you want to go or as high as that you want to go. Uh-huh. And that's really where, you know, that advanced analytics platform comes in.
Gotcha. Because it sure sounds to me, based on that description, like, you know, it's what's the old expression, garbage in, garbage out. If you record one piece of information incorrectly into whatever sort of homegrown RCM template or RCM spreadsheet you've built for yourself, then that's going to skew everything afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that you said that Excel spreadsheet, because when you're dealing with RCM, not only is that one thing can throw it off, but I don't know how much you've played with an Excel, but if you've ever had to open up an Excel document that has to comb through hundreds of thousands or millions of rows of data, that's not exactly the most pleasant experience, to say the least.
Yeah.
You know, you got to look at scalability too, right? So, you know, with analytics here, advanced analytics, we're combing through billions of data points, and, you know, you're able to look at that easily, you know, in a very quick, scalable manner. No longer do you need to sit there and wait, you know, 15 minutes for Excel to churn through those millions of rows.
Okay. So, I kind of see that there's a, you know, kind of, DIY, versus outsourced, kind of issue here, which seems to be sort of the overarching story for all healthcare IT when you stop and think about it. But let's address that real quick. Sunil, I'm going to put it over to you. You know, what's involved if you're going to implement RCM yourself versus if you outsource it? You know, what's kind of the difference between those two scenarios?
Sure. So RCM, as you know, is kind of the lifeblood of a provider, of an HME, right? If you provide a great service, you've got the product out there, and you're taking care of the patient, well, you have to make sure you got to get paid for it, right? So there's a lot of moving parts within revenue cycle management. And so managing all those processes and even subset of those processes are going to be very important. So yes, managing, and we can talk about, you know, using data to help manage all that, but then also making sure you have all the right employees in place, the experienced staff, and then having to manage every time there is attrition that's involved or people going on time out, taking some personal time off, whatever the case might be. You just have to make sure, yes, you have all your processes in place, as well as you have the right people managing those processes. So that's very important, right? And everyone might do it a little different, but as long as the end goal is it's successful, you're fine. The other piece of it is there is the front end team that's doing all that, bringing in those orders, getting all those documentation, doing all that work. And then there's the back end team that is working with the payers, trying to resolve denials, posting cash, so on and so forth. Sometimes what happens is you don't know where the problem lies, right? Because you might be seeing there's a lot of denials not being worked correctly, and you're kind of holding the denial team responsible for it. while maybe the problem was on the front end, right? If the front end folks had got the documentation in the first place, the denial of teams wouldn't have the challenge of managing all that AR. So again, you have to be very careful when you're trying to identify issues within your process that you're actually looking at the right places. And you have to have those two teams talk to each other because they cannot be operating in silos, right? That's there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it's all those regulatory changes that keep happening, keeping up to date with all that can be very tasking. And like I said at the start, you know, analyzing all that data to help you identifying bottlenecks within and also in between your processes. So a lot of that goes on, you know, when you're managing your own revenue cycle management. With that said, if you were to outsource revenue cycle management, there are benefits to that, which is in case you do have a staff turnover or something, you don't have to worry about that anymore, because once you outsource your revenue cycle management, that revenue cycle management entity should have a lot of additional experienced staff to manage all of your revenue cycle management. There's also the benefit of what I would say variable expense versus fixed expense. What I mean by that is when you have your own set of employees, you have a fixed expense. So your business could be up 1 month, down the next month. There could be all these variations. You can't hire and fire employees, right? That wouldn't make sense. So you're going to always have a fixed expense, a fixed overhead that you're going to have to manage it on your P&L. If you were to outsource to revenue cycle management, as your business goes up, the cost goes up. As your business goes down, the cost goes down. So mm-hmm. it's a variable expense, and it's a little more easier on your P&L.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a real interesting one right there, is the fact that it can sort of accordion with your business as it grows or shrinks. Are there any other sorts of upsides to outsourcing?
Definitely. You know, the other one I would also say is you will benefit from process improvements, right? So a very good revenue cycle entity will have multiple customers they're servicing, and hopefully they've run into all kinds of challenges in the past, and they've come up with, you know, the best process or resolution for those issues. Well, now when they are working your revenue cycle management and an issue comes up, it's, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? Because here's a bunch of process improvements that we've done in the past for different customers. We can actually step in and implement a solution rather quickly than you could have done it internally if you were doing revenue cycle management. So you tend to benefit from that tribal knowledge that you built servicing multiple provider.
And Fatty, I imagine the same thing holds true on the analytics side of this equation as well.
Yeah, absolutely does. I mean, on, you know, if we were to look at like on an implementation side to do this yourself, I mean, we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, right? There's a requirement of getting the data for one, right? Depending on how you want to do that, the level of sophistication you want to go with your analytics platform, you know, it could be as something as minimal. I'll never say simple or easy as, but as minimal as, you know, having an analyst or two on staff, running those ad hoc reports, and then creating your own set of reports through a series of ad hocs and pivots and VLOOKUPs and all the wonderful things, which, you know, we won't get into too much right now because I don't want everybody's eyes to gloss over. But, you know, as there's that component. Then if you want to go a little more sophisticated, right, this is now involved with standing up your own data warehouse, right? There's costs associated there for the server costs, the licensing costs, the migration of data into that, acquiring additional data, then hiring on, you know, business analysts, hiring on database administrators. And depending on, again, just how sophisticated you want to get, you know, data scientists to start doing some kind of artificial intelligence with this, right? What's that next level that you can take it to? And even outside of that, you know, forgetting about anything to do with combing through the data and getting to this actionable insight, you have to think about the data security component of it as well, right? As you're combing through any of this, it's security is key, right? We're dealing with PHI here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you look at what is out there, you know, I always like to kind of go back to that, the Excel model. Excel's phenomenal. I use it all the time. But the challenge with it is if I send you a document and everybody's running through Excel and my data warehouse, if you will, is my laptop, well, you're walking around with a lot of, you know, unsecure data at that point. That's a pretty big risk. So,
yeah. You know, when you put it in that context, that's kind of like, it's one of those moments where you sit there and you go, what am I doing? that's a huge security hole right there, and probably not within HIPAA compliance, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be skirting the line pretty tight. So, you know, then you look at maybe, you know, outsourcing analytics, right? So you look at, you know, again, I'll kind of speak to what we're doing here with advanced analytics is, you know, it's a secure cloud platform. You know, we're moving the data. There's no, you know, there's no cost in that moving the data aspect of it. You're not having to worry about setting up this infrastructure that we just talked about, the data warehousing, all the analysts, all the DBAs, all that. That's, you know, it's an outsourced controlled system. Mm-hmm. And going back to something I kind of touched on earlier, it turns into a single source of truth. You can give multiple users access to that platform, and now they don't need to worry about loading it on your laptop, right? You log in, it's a secure login. You go in there, you take a look at the data, you see what you need to do, you start taking action, right? It's not just looking at the data, but it's pulling that actionable insight from it. But I'd say another huge, huge benefit to being able to do this. I'll kind of close this out because I can go on for days, and I know we don't as much as I love the sound of my own voice. I'll keep it to two additional points here.
Okay.
One of those, you know, is the ability to set an alert, right? Whenever anybody's looking at data, we want to find ways to be proactive. We don't want to be reactive. So, you know, outsourcing it and actually having a tool that's already fully developed like advanced analytics is you can set these types of pulse alerts on there where, you know, let's say you are looking at that denials ratio or the outstanding sales order days or your net revenue collection, whatever it may be. You can easily go through and send an alert where you can set a threshold on it and say, if, you know, to Sunil's point, I believe, you know, it was mentioned 10 to 15 days is about the range you want to be in for those outstanding sales orders. If it's anything higher than that, you got something else going on. There's something you want to dive into. Well, that's great. Let's send an alert on that. And if it ever does go above 15 days, you're going to get an email notification, right? You can't really do that with Excel. You got to log in. You got to take a look at it. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's one of the big, you know, one of the other big benefits. The other one is when you take a look at a solution like this, you know, with advanced analytics is you get the ability to start looking at benchmarking as well. What I mean by that is even if you spent the time, the money, the resource to stand up your own analytics solution, and you know you got those warehouses, you got those DBAs, those analysts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you're fully secure, you're still only looking at your own data, right? So you can look at your own trend. I was at, I grew by 10% overall year over year. Hey, that's great. Pat ourselves on the back. We're growing. That's awesome. But wouldn't it be great to know what the industry average is? Yeah. What if the industry is actually growing at a 30%? Well, that's going to identify an opportunity. Hey, you're growing, but you could be growing faster, right? And what can you do? So having the ability to see benchmark and not, you know, not minute like detail around what are they exactly doing, because obviously we would never share, you know, provider's information across provider. But, you know, being able to look at this in an aggregate fashion and say, hey, the industry in general is sitting at X. You're sitting at Y. What can we do to make you better, right? Having that visibility is just, I mean, it's key. It's not something you're going to be able to get if you're just building it yourself because you're limited to your own data set.
Okay. So, you know, what's next for RCM and analytics? Are there some kind of big developments in that regard coming up?
I'll go first with revenue cycle management. So, you know, we are always looking to automate some of our processes, right? So we continue to automate, we continue to expand our services within revenue cycle management as well. And as part of all that, it's going to be critical that you're always pushing the envelope on how clean those claims are and you're getting paid faster because, you know, if a provider is sitting back there and saying, you know, I think I'm doing the best I can and I'm not going to make additional investments and in terms of automation or whatever, I can tell you there's another competitor that is doing exactly that, right? Yeah. So you got to be, we are always pushing ourselves. There's continuous improvements that are happening that we continue to invest in. And then with that said, also, you know, like Fady was mentioning, all that data that's out there and the powerful infrastructure we have, you know, having access to all that information, taking that information back and implementing it within our organization, right? So within RCM, you've got to have that feedback loop, taking all that data from analytics, implementing it within your organization, and really closing out that bottleneck and waiting for that next bottleneck to pop up so you can work on that as well. So that's for RCM, but analytics, I'll flip it over to Fady.
So, yeah, I think, you know, it's a lot of what Sunil was mentioning really echoes over on, you know, what's the next steps in analytics, right? We have access to billions of data points and, you know, we always have that ultimate goal of providing more insights and more actionable information. So really the moment you stay stagnant with your data, you don't start hunting for more data points, more things to really enrich that data set is when you really start getting left behind. So, I mean, if I were to really say what's the next step in analytics, I mean, it's a constant evolution. It's really hard to pinpoint one necessary next step. You know, I'd actually kind of challenge everybody and actually I encourage everybody, you know, listening in to reach out to us and let us know what is it that you want to see next. You know, we don't want to just sit here in our little lab, if you will, and, you know, think of what's the next big thing. We want to hear it from our providers, from the DME industry, because we want to make everybody better together.
Okay, so guys, I'm curious. I know you're exhibiting at MedTrade coming up in October. I'm curious, will you be showing off some of your RCM and analytics solutions there?
Definitely. So we will be there at MedTrade talking about all the things we've been doing here at Revenue Cycle Management. I think from a product standpoint, I think you'll be seeing some new things on analytics. Fady, did you want to talk maybe just a little bit? Do you want to kind of give a sneak peek?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what's in there in analytics, you know, we're definitely showing metrics around some of those KPIs that Sunil was speaking to. But, you know, we have some additional views. It's a little hard to explain without seeing the data there. But, you know, you'll have some static pool views so you can actually see, you know, just how long is it taking for you to, you know, collect that, you know, the revenues, get that payment in and just see how long it's been out there, right? What's that static view? Ways to look into your, you know, I don't know if we really touched on this too heavily here, but documentation, right? That's a key component of it. You know, are your CMNs up to date? Are you missing them? Do you need to get an ex-CMN? What about your PARs, your prior auths? So, you know, you'll have views into all that and more. And we'll definitely be demoing that and showing that at MedTrade.
Okay, you guys are at booth 1917. So anybody attending the show and interested in this, you know where to go, 1917. Okay, guys, for people who want to learn more after listening this podcast, where can they go? Do they have a link where they can learn more about your RCM solutions and analytics?
Sure. For RCM, you can go to brightree.com/RCM. It's really simple. And then, or you have the option of sending it to info@brightree.com. And Fady for analytics.
We are the same email. So info@brightree.com is the best way to get hold of us.
Okay. Well, guys, I really appreciate all the time and the information. This has been a jam-packed podcast. Lots for everybody to mull over. Guys, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, David, for making us part of this podcast. It was really fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks, David.
Thanks again to this episode's experts, Sunil Krishnan and Fady Haddad. Thanks, guys. And thanks again to this episode's sponsor, Brightree. Brightree made this in-depth discussion of RCM for the home medical equipment industry possible, so make sure to give them a visit over at brightree.com. Again, that's brightree.com. That'll close things up for episode 14. Remember, if you want to stay on top of what's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. Again, that's hme-business.com. And of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter, and I'm at Postacute News on Twitter. And let's not forget this podcast. Don't forget to rate and review the HME Business podcast. And please, if you haven't already, make sure to click on the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via Twitter over at @postacutenews, or you can hit me up via email at dkopf@1105media.com. With that, we'll wrap things up for this episode. Thank you all very much for listening, and goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.